mountains that I love to sing your name. Good morning, everyone. Listen, Super Bowl Sunday is always a warning to me, okay? It's a warning that there's a big argument coming at our house. Because it's been very predictable over the last few years that, you know, after Super Bowl Sunday, well, they just start delivering things in the mail. Now, it's not the swimsuit issue, okay? We opted out of that a long time ago, and I'd recommend the same for you. But what happens is in the next week or two, the seed catalogs are going to show up. You know, the ones are going to just come in the mail from all these different companies, and they're going to be just filled with beautiful pictures of all these vegetables and these fruits that you can have and that you can look at it. You can see what's going on with all these things. I put a little sample up here on the screen. Jamie's going to put up here for you. I mean, do you love looking at these things like I do? And what this leads to is that I start looking through and I'm just like marking all the things we're going to get and all the things we're going to grow and how beautiful our garden's going to be this year and all these things. And my wife looks at me and says, no, Jack, come on. We've been through this before. You're very good at picking them out, okay? And you're very good. You even help us plant them. But then you just disappear. All you care about is planting and harvesting. And, you know, there's a lot more that goes on in between all these things. And you know who has to do all this? All the watering, all the weeding, all the other things. And I just can't do this anymore. And you know, we get into this whole thing about what's going on. And she's right, right? She understands. It's more than just taking these beautiful seeds and dropping them in the ground, covering them over and say, okay, God, you go to work. She says, that's what a pastor would say. God, you do the work. She said, but God wants us to do a lot of work too. It's not just the harvest that we get, but all the things that happen to kind of make all these things come together. This morning, we're in Luke chapter 8. It's on page 1036 here in the Bibles here at Shelter Rock. And Jesus is talking to his disciples about some planting and some harvesting and all the hard work that goes in and bringing seeds to maturity and letting seeds really bring forth the harvest that they were intended to bring. So Jesus is talking to his disciples, but he's speaking to the crowd as well. So in Luke chapter 8, verse 4, here's what we read. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus, from town after town, he told them this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some of it fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. And some fell on the rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on the good soil, and it came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. And when he had said this, he called out. Can you imagine Jesus now raising his voice? He called out and he said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear this. Let them listen. Obviously, Jesus is making a very strong point. He wants people to really understand what's really going on with all these things. This is what we call a parable. A parable basically means, para means alongside. Parable basically means kind of throw down something alongside. Jesus is teaching a lesson, and he's kind of taking these stories, kind of throws them down alongside. Some people say a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That he kind of tells these stories in a way that about things that we understand so that we can make the connection with the things that God wants us to understand about our life. And so Jesus tells these stories with all of these things to kind of reveal a bigger truth. What God really wants to say to us. And so the disciples say, hey, that was an interesting story. You know, I guess we've all been around long enough to kind of, we've all seen this happen. What does this really mean? His disciples ask him. They said, what does this parable mean? And Jesus begins to explain it to them. This is one of the very few parables that Jesus tells that he actually gives us the explanation. So I think we should pay attention, okay? I have your attention this morning. Let's listen. Verse 11, he goes on, and this is what he says. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. It's very interesting. He kind of drops it right there. He says, basically saying, you know, here I am. I've been sent into this world to be God's messenger. I've been sent here to deliver God's message to this world, to all of you. And you're here listening. And it's just like a seed that's got to have been planted. I've been put into your environment, into your place. And guess what? I'm here to deliver God's word. He said the seed is like the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear it. And then when the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe it and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they do not have any root. And they believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. And the seed that fell among the thorns, well, that stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries and riches and pleasures, and they don't mature. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with noble and a good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a good crop. So this is God's word to us this morning. Let's stop and pray. God, we've read your word, we've heard your word, and we ask that now you would, by the work of your Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our minds, help it to make sense to us. Help us to understand what you want to say to us this morning. Speak through me, but speak through your Holy Spirit into the hearts of all my friends here. And help us to know your word and what you want to say to us this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know. Get me on the topic of seeds. That's one of the greatest, I think, one of the greatest topics of all, right? Because seeds are absolutely miraculous when you stop and think about it, aren't they? I mean, I put a few examples here on the screen. Can you imagine taking a little pumpkin seed and dropping it in your garden? And by the end of the summer, you got vines going everywhere, right? You got these big orange balls growing. And you kind of go, where does this all come from? It's just more and more than where. And it all comes from these tiny little seeds. I mean, when you stop and look at creation and kind of wonder how God put all this together. I mean, look across our solar system. We don't see other planets with any water, any atmosphere. They're not getting the right amount of sun. And there's no seeds on any of these planets. And so they don't have the beauty that we have on this planet. Because seeds bring, you know, when you plant them, what comes? Well, beauty comes, food comes, protection comes. I mean, materials come, lumber and all, so many other things that we use and make a part of our life. And it's just amazing when you hold these seeds, you know, at the start of the season, you crack open those little packets and pour them out and say, who would ever think that inside these seeds, so much is going to come out of this and how powerful it is. I mean, if you want something to think about for the rest of the day, just think about that, right? I mean, it was God's plan to put all this together, and inside of these little tiny little pellets, he's got huge things that can grow out of all this. Well, he says in this parable, the seed is the word of God. In other words, he's saying, just as you've seen this kind of happen, you know, in front of your face with vegetables and plants and trees and all these other things, the words that I'm telling you, the word of God that I'm bringing to you, it has the same powerful effect. That if you plant it into your life, if you receive it into your life, it will do marvelous things to turn you and to change you and to multiply your life beyond all anything you can imagine. That's why here at Shelter Rock Church, maybe what's different about what goes on here is that we try to make a priority about the word of God. I hope you notice every week that we use God's word, that we center our messages around it. We're not just here giving good ideas and clever thoughts and giving self-help advice about, you know, how things that maybe we've learned to make life a little easier for us. We try to listen to God's word and focus in on it. Even all the music that we sing is based on God's word and helps us to take it and absorb it into our life because it has a powerful impact in us. I mean, here's just four verses, just to give you a little sample, okay? Look at Hebrews 4:12. And what does it say here? For the word of God is alive, and it's active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. God's word, you let it into your life, it'll penetrate and get right to the heart of you. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, Paul talks about to the people there, he says, we thank God continually because when you received the word of God, in other words, you let the seed be planted in you, which you heard from us, you accepted it not just as human words, But as it actually is, the Word of God, which is indeed at work in all of you who believe. Look at Romans 1, 16. Paul writes and says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the Word of God. I'm not ashamed, for it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes it, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. God's Word brings us salvation, helps us to understand what God's all about. And then look at 1 Peter. Peter kind of takes this old passage and kind of puts this all together. He says, for you've been born again. This change has happened in your life. Not of perishable seed, you know, like the normal earthly seed that we have, but of imperishable seed, seed that can never be destroyed, through the living and enduring Word of God. And then he goes on. Look what he says. Look at the slide here. Look at what he says. For all people are like grass. In other words, we're part of the vegetation of the earth. And their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fail. But the word of the Lord endures forever. You get this? Jesus is saying that the seed that's planted is the word of God. How powerful it is in our life. And then he goes on and says, listen. The story that I told you, it isn't so much about the seed. The seed is good. The seed is powerful. What I'm telling you about is the soil. Because the seed has to go someplace. It has to be placed someplace. And what my story is about where the seed lands and what happens. And if you look at this story, you know that Jesus gives us four places where the seed lands. And the story really isn't all that positive, because three of the four places, it really doesn't work out so good. I don't like the math of all this. As a pastor, as a Christian, I kind of look and say, you're telling me that the odds are against us getting the seed into our life and letting it really be productive and grow in us? And I guess God's saying, like my wife's saying, you know what, you can plant a lot of seeds, but if you're not really ready to give it a lot of attention, you're not going to see the results that you really want. And so Jesus really comes to us and says, be careful where the seed lands. So this morning in your bulletin, we put a little seed chart here. If you'd like to follow along with us this morning, we're going to look at these four different places where the seeds can land in our life. The first place is on the pathway. Jesus talks about how it lands on there. And you can see that the pathway is a busy place. There's lots of traffic. There's nothing wrong with the soil. The problem is it's just packed down because people are walking on it all the time. They're just compressing it. And the more that they've walked on it, the more they've kind of made it like pavement. The seed can't get through in these situations. You see, in these situations, we kind of see that heavy traffic creates a hardness. And the seeds kind of fall on this, and then they just don't get in. They don't even get recognized. People are walking by them and all of the way. Look at this next picture. How typical is this, right? Isn't this what we do? I mean, we build sidewalks for people to walk on, college campuses, government buildings, all in our parks and every place. What do? We're always constantly taking a shortcut. And what are we doing? We're destroying the wonderful thing, the grass that's growing there. I've seen on golf courses and other places, people just drive and walk over these places. They actually put little barriers around and say, please don't walk here. Something's growing here. No, people, we've got to get someplace, right? We're on our way. We need a shortcut. We got to get there as fast as possible. And maybe the lesson for us is that sometimes in our lifestyle, the way that we live, we're kind of looking for that shortcut. The fact that we're just kind of pressing on, we don't even notice that the seed's been dropped at our feet. We can't even see what God's doing. We got a place to go. We've got things we got to accomplish, things in our life that are so important with all these things. And we just march right over it. And when we march right over it, well, it doesn't last long. You've been in New York long enough. The birds, the seagulls, and the pigeons. You drop anything that looks like food, it's gone, right? And so they come and take all these things away. And then he goes to the second one. And look what he says. He talks about the withering plants. He talks about the plants that don't have enough moisture. They don't have enough of a base. These are the plants that have a shallow base. And because of that, they're easily uprooted. How many of you, your kids brought home a little cup from school, a little styrofoam cup, right? They plant a little seed in there, a little kind of part of the little thing. They plant a little seed in the little soil, and they watch for a few days. They water it a little bit, and then the seed kind of pops up, a little sprout, and everyone goes, yes, look, we're watching how the seeds turn into soil. And so they bring it home in the styrofoam cup. But you know, that's a wonderful lesson, but the truth is, it's not going anywhere, right? Because the styrofoam cup kind of limits what that seed, what's going to happen to that seed. And it'll basically kind of look nice for maybe a couple weeks, but eventually it's just going to die because there's no roots that can go down in. We put a limitation on it. My son brought one home. I think he was in the third or fourth grade. Grandma was with us that week. He said, let's go out and plant this. And I thought, oh boy, here we go. You know, we go out to the front of the house or out by the street, by the big telephone streetlight pole that's there, and they're planting this little thing in there, and that's kind of his plant. They get it all planted in with all that. You know, a couple years ago, the utility company was out, and they were brought their big equipment out because that little plant had suddenly grown up so big that it was blocking the streetlight. It was all up into the wires. And this tiny little thing, and they're out there with these huge crews taking down this 30-foot tree, you know, that had come out of all that. Well, guess what? God says to us, listen, you know, we plant sometimes these seeds in your life, and guess what? You know, if we don't allow the roots to go down, if we don't put it in a place where the roots can go down and make it stronger, it's never going to be what God wants it to be. And I think a lot of times as Christians, sometimes we have a very superficial relationship with God. Jesus says, someone who's like this is like a person who receives the truth. They receive the seed, and they receive it with joy, and they kind of grow up, and they're happy about it, and it really makes sense, but they never put any roots down. It never gets any stronger. They look good on the outside, but they're never going to last. And when trouble comes, well, they just wither and die because there's no moisture. They have no plumbing system going down to pull the water up. They're not bringing up the nutrients from the soil. They can never get any bigger or any stronger because nothing's going down. A few minutes ago, Pastor Jim told you about this Connect class coming up. You want to get roots in your life? He talked about, you know, in this class, you're going to learn 5 or 6 ways that you can learn to grow in your faith. I mean, next Sunday, February 12th, put that on your calendar. If you're not really growing as a Christian, if you're not really getting roots down, you're going to end up and be like a withered plant because the circumstances of life will come and knock you down. The wind will blow, the sun will come out, the persecution will come, hard times will come to you. You need your roots down. Put your roots down with him. Here's the third scenario that Jesus comes up. He talks about the plants that are choked out by the weeds. Well, you know, when a seed goes in the ground, you know that the other plants around it don't go, oh, get back. There's a seed that's been planted here. Well, we want to give it plenty of space. No. As C.S. Lewis said, you know, there's not one uncontested inch of this planet. And when you put a seed into the ground, you think, oh, this is going to be my flower, this is going to be my vegetables, my tomatoes, my peppers, my pickles. Guess what? The other weeds go, oh, yeah? Because they just move in. And they want the water, and they want the nutrients, and they want to take over with all that. And when weeds come in, they compete with the seed for all the resources that are there. And when weeds come in and start competing, guess what? Weeds usually win. Have you noticed? Why do they grow so much? I don't know. I guess it's part of the fall, you know, part of the curse that sin is being in the world, but they just seem to suck up everything. And Jesus is saying, listen, the same way that we receive the word of God into our life, if we're not careful, we can get so wrapped up in the pleasures of life, we can get so caught up in the worries and the anxieties about life, we can get so caught up in the desire for money and possessions, that those things will suck the life out of our relationship with God, that they'll become more important to us, and they'll just take over and choke us out in those ways. So I said to somebody, it's like going to the diner with a couple friends who really like to eat, okay? You order the food, and you know what? They like to eat so much, they just eat. They don't eat their food, they eat your food, you know? They're reaching across and getting the fries off your plate. And they say, let me just have a little bite of this, and before you know it, you're not getting anything to eat, okay? I mean, they're just eating everything. And we have things in our life that just consume us. Maybe they're good things, maybe they're hobbies, maybe they're pursuits that we have, maybe that's our job that we need for all these things, but don't let them become so dominant that they take away from the word of God really growing in your life. Jesus really lays this out for us. And then he comes to the fourth one. And this is the good seed. The good seed in the good soil. And he said it's planted here in that soil that, you can just sense that when you pick it up and kind of hold it in your hands, there's something alive about this soil. And then when it's planted here, the strength and stability comes in. And growth and multiplication comes. It kind of hits me that a seed in the fertile soil is kind of like flying business class instead of being in coach, okay? Instead of being in the middle seat and being all cramped in and having all these things going on. I mean, you put a seed down into the fertile soil, it's like we're making space for this. We're preparing for it. We're going to make sure that it gets the water that it needs, that it gets the nutrients that it needs, that it gets the protection. We're not going to let everyone else kind of crowd in on this whole thing. No, no. We're making sure that this seed gets top priority in all of these things. And as it begins to grow, we point it towards the sun. And it begins to lean out towards the sun and begins to draw this in. And it's and God says that when we really plant ourselves in fertile soil, when we really seek after him, when we keep ourselves away from all these other things that will destroy us, God brings maturity and growth into our life. I mean, look at Psalm 1. It talks about a man who loves the word of God. And in Psalm 1, it says that he's like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, and his roots go down, and he's fed by this whole thing, and his leaves are prosperous, and they grow, and they don't wither, and they're strong. God tells us again and again, and tries to show to us that fill yourself up with me, and I'll make you strong. And you look at this field of sunflowers on the screen, and isn't that unbelievable? That out of, you know, each one of those comes from a tiny little seed that's buried in the middle of all that. And that when you can take and plant these things and really prosper them, look how beautiful they are. And that's what God wants to do in us. He wants his word to be in us in such a way that we bring forth fruit in our life. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. God wants these things to be growing in us, not us not to be stifled in all these things. And so we can see the power of the fertile soil. So here we go. Well, Jesus, why is he talking about this? You know, kind of like, what's the lesson? What does he want to teach us out of all these things? Well, number one, I guess you could look, if you look ahead, you see in Luke chapter 9, next chapter for next week, he's sending the disciples out on a little mission to go out and talk to other people about the kingdom of God and to let them be announcing it. And he gets to Luke 10, he's going to be doing the same thing. So it's good preparation. He's kind of saying to them, this is how important your message is, but I'm also preparing you that not everybody who receives it is going to really get a hold of it. You're going to be a little bit disappointed because guess what? Not everybody understands all these things. But I think he's also prepping us that we're called to be sowers of the seed. That God has given you and me, he's planted his Spirit in us so that we can share it with other people as well. And so wherever God has put us, that he calls us to share and to be sharing it out with other people. And I guess I don't have to tell you that it doesn't always go so well, right? I mean, how many of you have family and friends that just don't get it, right? You have tried to speak to them. You have tried to bring them to church. You've tried to tell them the story about God and his great salvation. You've quoted John 3:16 to them and kind of badgered them a little bit. And they've kind of said, enough of this. You know, we don't talk about these things. I'm really not interested. And they stay away from you now. And guess what? It's not always that easy, right? So maybe what God wants to do in all these things is he wants us to prepare us and to let us know what it's like to share the seed with others. Maybe he's helping the disciples and speaking to all of us this morning. So God wants us to be sharers. He wants us to be sowers of the seed. He wants us to be out planting and to be putting his Spirit and his message, his truth, the word of God into the lives of people around us. And how do we do all that? Well, I've given my life to trying to be part of all this, but I've been frustrated. Sometimes I wonder why my friends don't get it. I begin to understand that it's kind of a process that people go through. So I was taking some classes out at Wheaton College, and Dr. James Engel was my advisor, and he kind of came up with a little survey. On the back of your sheet, we kind of put a little timeline on all of this, okay? And he kind of said to me, listen, there's a process that people go through to really receive the Word of God, to let it really grow in their life. And there's no time schedule on it. There's no exact way to kind of talk about all this, but it kind of looks like this. So look at the next slide. People who are far away, we'll call them on the minus side, minus 10, minus 8. Look, we'll pump the slide up there, Jamie. The next one, we'll take a look at all this. So you said somebody who's like minus 8. They have some knowledge and belief in Jesus and in God and kind of know a little bit about him, all that, but they don't know too much. But then maybe by the time they get to minus 6, they're kind of like, well, I kind of have a positive opinion about who Christ is and what Christian people are like. I mean, a lot of people stay away from the church and away from God's message because they go, oh, they're hypocrites. Oh, I don't like this. They're all about money and they're all about, and see people kind of, but sometimes people get drawn in. I know some people who are coming to church today because 2 weeks ago they were at the Stop Hunger Now event. And they said, church does this? And they came, were invited by some friends to come, and they kind of said, wow, if this is what this church is about, I want to come and be a part of all this. I want to come and find out about all this. So sometimes people get a positive attitude by the way they see your life and my life and kind of hear about what's going on. And then maybe they come to the point where they actually can hear and understand the gospel. Because the natural default position, of course, is when people think about religion or about church, they say, oh, I've got to do more things. But you know here that the gospel that God gives us from his word isn't about what we do. It's about what God does, what Jesus has done for us, and the difference in all this. And so sometimes people come into the Alpha class, and this is, where they come from. And the Alpha class often helps them understand, what real salvation is all about and how we respond to God. And you've seen some of your friends do this, right? It kind of helps move them along with that. Let's flip the slide again. So we get to like minus 3. And people started, suddenly started saying, well, I guess I've really got to, give my life to Christ. And by the time you get to minus 2, it's kind of like, well, maybe now's the time to do that. And then it's at that point that they come to the point of repentance, surrendering themselves to God and putting their faith in Christ. See, the problem is that most of us, we'd like to get to repentance and faith right away. We say to our friends, you need Jesus in your life. Pray with me. Pray this prayer with me. And they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Maybe they might repeat the words, but they don't really mean it or understand it in their heart. But God wants us to be, it's like planting a seed. You have to go into the ground and you have to wait for it to grow and grow and grow and come along. God wants you to understand as you sow his seed that he's going to do the work. It's his goal eventually to get people to the cross. And then coming out of the cross, look at the next slide. It doesn't stop there. You can see that we grow from all of these things. We understand, I've given my life to Christ. Is this the right thing for me to do? And then how do I fit into the body? Where do I belong here? And then how do I really be in communion with God? How do I know his word and pray and be part of all this? And then how do I begin to apply this into my lifestyle and begin to let it change the way that I live and how I speak and how I treat other people and what I do, the decisions I make? And then how do I begin to share and give? And really, this is our 3 C's class that we talk about. This is what really is going on. And the reason why we want you to be involved in these things is so that you can grow and be mature and be growing in that way. Don't be stuck in the cup, okay? Don't be a Christian that's just kind of got a little bud on it, kind of say, I come to church and everything's all right. Let your roots really go down and be part of all this. I mean, this is what God is doing in all these things. And you can see how God works all these things out and how God makes these things happen with all of this. And I guess when it all comes down to it, you stop and realize that God will use us to reach out to our friends. I've had the great opportunity to share Christ with a number of my friends. And some of them have been far away. When I bring up and tell them what I do and that I'm a pastor, some of them say, oh, yeah, okay. Boy, you got one of those churches, you take a big offering and then you get to take all the money home, right? Or they say, you're probably getting all these people and, you're all about getting them to come and look up to you and worship you. They get all these crazy ideas, right? And you try to work through all of that and kind of say, no, that's not what this is about. And they say, oh, salvation is all about, we got to do this and we got to do that. No. We help them all these things. I remember sharing with some of my friends and just trying to be gentle and trying to help them along. Trying to lay some things. One of my friends didn't have a very positive attitude about who Christians were, but he and I both love basketball, and I saw some nice articles about a guy who was a Christian basketball player, so I just clipped it out, sent it to him.
There's a guy, you know, that we both look up to, we both admire for his skills. But look at his faith is real. You got to start with some of our friends and just kind of drop the seeds in where they are and let it begin to grow. And with my friend's life, a crisis came, a terrible accident. Thought his wife was going to die. Was at the hospital. And at those moments, suddenly, all the words of God, you know, that I had kind of poured into his life, he was ready to pray. He was ready to ask for help. And as God restored his wife and began to put those things back together, we began to see that he began to understand he came to faith in Christ. So don't give up on your friends. It may be a long journey along the way, but God wants to use you to plant the seed in their life. Here's the last thing I think, and then I'm done. The last thing I think is that God wants to speak to you and me. He wants to talk to us about our lives. Have we hardened our hearts towards him? Are we letting God's seed really be part of our life? I mean, I'm glad you're here on Sunday mornings. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you're enjoying this part of the service and everything else, but is your heart really open? Are you really seeking after him? Are you looking for him during the week and opening his word, using the daily devotionals there that the church gives you? Are you involved in the classes here that are available to kind of develop your faith? I mean, life is full of lots of temptations and full of lots of other priorities. It's so easy to get swept up and kind of say, oh yes, I'm a churchgoer, I'm a church member, and not really let God really be deeply embedded in your heart. That you could be very much alive but producing no fruit in your life. And God wants to bring that fruit out in you. Do you believe that? Jesus said, if you have ears, listen to this. Don't miss what he wants to do in our life. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, you told us in Colossians, you said, just as we've trusted you to save us, now we need to trust you for each day's problems, for each day's anxieties, for each day's challenges. You said that we're supposed to let our roots go down into you, and that we're supposed to draw up from you the nourishment that you will give us so that we'll grow and that we'll be strong for all that you want to do in our lives. Father, I pray for my friends here today. Thank you for your simple story. We've all taken wrong turns. We've all gotten ourselves into situations where we've just been kind of stuck and kind of been in neutral. We've kind of been coasting. We've just kind of been going nowhere. So easy, Lord, with our busy schedules to kind of put you aside. Father, I would pray in this year, 2017, as we're opening your word, that you would help each one of us help us to grow, to take your word, to make space in our life for you, to be there, to be not only our Savior, but to be our Lord, that you would change the way that we think and change the way that we live, that you'd help us to share your good news with others all around us. Father, work in us and let your fruit be strong. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.